This is John Davison, and you're listening to Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 55 of the Yes Music Podcast, one fan's exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulryan. Please remember all the different ways you can get in touch with the show via the website www.yesmusicpodcast.com. Well, as you can probably hear, I did promise you a very different kind of episode this week, and that's what you're going to get. It's actually not the episode I had planned, but unfortunately I was unable to arrange that with the person that I'm going to interview, so hopefully that's going to be next week. Now, that left me in a bit of a difficult situation because I didn't have an episode ready to record for this week. So it's meant that I've had to be rather creative with what I do. So, as I say, you can probably tell that I'm not in my usual studio. I'm actually podcasting from my car, bizarre as it may seem, on my way from Stratford-upon-Avon in the middle of England to Nottingham, where my work base is. I travel to Nottingham from Stratford about twice every week. So that's where you can hear the road noise and so on. I hope it's not too off-putting. I have had a couple of trials of doing this for a different podcast, which I'm going to be launching quite soon. So if you hear me turning on my indicator in the car, buses and trucks and lorries going past, then I hope that's not going to put you off too much from the Yes content that I'm going to be going through today. So as I was unable to interview the person I wanted to this week, I had a kind of bizarre idea that I might sort of interview myself, and we'll see how this goes. So what I'm going to do is imagine that I'm in the situation where I've gone to a dinner party, and I'm talking to lots of people who are music fans, but definitely not Yes fans. How would the conversation go? How would I convince them to give Yes a go? So what kinds of arguments would I come up with to encourage people to listen to the greatest progressive rock band of all time? Well, maybe the people that I'm with mention the fact that the Rolling Stones are a band with similar longevity to Yes. They've been going for even longer than Yes, in fact, haven't they? And are just about to go back out on tour. Surely that really represents a proper rock and roll band. Well, Yes have also been touring since 1969, maybe not to huge audiences for the whole of that time, but they have been delighting fans, as you can tell by the feedback, even up until today. And of course, the most recent proof of the popularity of the band is the launch of the Cruise to the Edge initiative for 2013. More details have been released this week, if you haven't heard them, featuring lots of different prog artists who'll also be joining Yes on that Cruise to the Edge, including Carl Palmer, UK, Glasshammer, and various others. I think it's going to be a superb event, and I'm very sad that there's no way I'm going to be able to attend that. Those who are going to be able to attend that are going to have a fantastic time, I think, and it's a wonderful opportunity to get very, very close to those fabulous prog musicians. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, it really proves that Yes are a viable, touring, playing live band, and very much active and still with us, even into next year and beyond, I do hope. So like the Rolling Stones, Yes, still a viable touring band even today. So what might the dinner party guests say next? Well, they might come out with the tired old argument about progressive rock being overblown, self-indulgent, pretentious, over the top. Well, in some ways I would agree wholeheartedly with those dinner guests. In some ways, prog is all of those things, and it's fantastic for that. But then I would go on to argue that there are so many different modes and moods of Yes, from the early, raw, exciting, energy-filled stuff, through brilliantly executed masterpieces of rock genius like Close to the Edge, Fragile, Going for the One, through to 90125, 80s stadium rock, Big Generator, Talk, then you've got the orchestral genius of Magnification, right up to the present day with Fly From Here, which is in some ways closer to pop rock than progressive rock. So there's a whole range of different Yes music to discover and delight in. Not all of it is overblown. Not all of it is pretentious. I mean, I would argue that none of it is pretentious or overblown, that it's perfectly judged, that the musicianship, the synchronicity of the band, and the time and the space is allowed for the music to be really explored. So I would counter their argument by saying that there's a great difference between pretentiousness and overblown music and what Yes do, which is just brilliant musicianship, brilliant creativity. And even if that's not your preferred style of music, there is plenty more of Yes to discover. Next, they might say, well, what's the point in going to see a band like Yes after all these years? There's nobody left from the original band, is there? I mean, you've got lots of tribute singers that they've heard about on the musical grapevine, tribute singers filling the ranks of the band now. What's the point in going to see people who are just pretending to be the original musicians in the band? Perhaps they've been to see an act like the Spinners, and I think I remember reading in the press recently that there's only one member of the original band left now, and they are touring and arguably pretending to be the Spinners. Now, I've talked before on the podcast about classical ensembles like string quartets, where members come, members go, members die, and are replaced. But of course that's very different, because those ensembles are playing a standard repertoire. They might add to it with recently composed music, but generally they're playing a standard repertoire, and it's the music rather than the band of musicians which is the important thing. It's the quality of the ensemble, the quality of the playing. And of course, my dinner guests are absolutely right. There have been, as you know, many, many personnel changes in Yes over the years. But certainly this particular argument is not true, is it? Think about the current members of the band. Bass genius Chris Squire has been there on every single album since 1969, founder member of the band, and still there today. As Keeper of the Flame, if there is one aspect of the band which defines it more than any other, even including the sound of John Anderson's voice, then it's the constant role in the band which is filled by Chris Squire. Without those bass lines, again, as I've said many times on the podcast, without those bass lines, Yes would be a completely different outfit, as you'll hear if you listen to ABWH, for example. So Chris Squire, not just for his playing, for his unique and irreplaceable part in the Yes choir, for his writing, for his musicianship, for his creativity with those bass lines, is absolutely essential, and still being as irrepressible and brilliant as he ever was. Steve Howe, not the original guitarist, but if you think of Yes, then the guitarist you immediately think of must be Steve Howe. Now, of course, Peter Banks, very important in those earliest videos that I've spoken about many times, giving the raw edge and energy and passion to the early band. But Steve Howe very soon coming in with the Yes album and taking the band to a different level, arguably, and helping to define the whole progressive movement with his style, his musicianship, and his contribution to Yes. So there's another member who certainly isn't pretending to be the guitarist of Yes. Steve Howe is, in a very real sense, the guitarist of Yes, despite whatever Trevor Rabin did to resurrect the band, and a brilliant job he did do in the 1980s, Steve Howe will always be the master craftsman of the guitar and lead guitarist of Yes. So there's the second member who isn't a recent addition. Thirdly, Alan White. And again, you can think of course, Bill Bruford, who did so much to define the style of Yes in the early days. But again, very, very soon, Alan White cemented his place and has been there since, is it 1973? So that sounds like quite a long tenure, doesn't it? Alan White, never the most obvious member of the band, sitting at the back, but the consummate, professional, creative percussion, rock and bassist of the band. Again, there's no way that you can think of Yes without thinking of Alan White occupying the drum stool. The keyboard slot in the band, of course, is a bit more of a moot point for a lot of fans. And as I've said in recent weeks, Jeff Downes is certainly not pretending to be Yes's keyboard player. With his essential role coming in to drama in the 80s with Trevor Horn, he has done a huge amount to ensure that Yes is still with us today. A lot of the writing on Fly From Here, of course, as you know, was material that Jeff Downes worked on in the 80s. And so that link from the present back to the 80s with Jeff Downes is very, very secure. Now, of course, if you think of Yes classically, and the general man or woman in the street thinks of Yes and the keyboards, there's no getting around the fact that you would think first of Rick Wakeman. And as you know, recently voted Prog God in the Prog Rock Awards, there's no denying the contribution that Rick Wakeman made to Yes. However, if you've been listening to recent episodes, you know what my feelings are. Jeff Downes is the current touring active member of Yes on the keyboards, and he's doing a great job as far as I'm concerned. Where the question is, of course, more justified, is with the lead singer. John Davison has only been with the band for a short time, and he has that crucial role at the front. But I think with John Davison, he's very much more filling the role as you would replace a first violinist in a string quartet. He's not mimicking John Anderson's performances. He's singing the songs his own way. He's adding his own musicianship, his own prog credibility to the band. Now, as I said last week, yes, he was a member of a Yes tribute band. There's no getting away from that fact. However, watch the YouTube videos, listen carefully to what John Davison is doing. I'm very much looking forward to listening carefully to what he does when I go and see the band live, hopefully next year. And I think you'll be convinced that he is doing a good job. In the same way as Rick Wakeman may be seen as the Yes keyboardist, of course John Anderson will always be the leader of Yes, not only in terms of the lead singer, but also, of course, in terms of the spirit of the band, defining what Yes is all about. And that place can never be taken away from John Anderson, I'm sure you'll agree. However, I'll go back to what I said before. What we need to have for fans of today is a touring, viable, active band, and John Davison is fulfilling that role extremely well. I've just reached a big intersection on my journey, and it's early in the morning here on my way to Nottingham, and it's just getting light. It's been an absolutely dreadful weather overnight. We've had torrential rain all night, keeping us awake, and I can see a police car going by on the other side of the road there. But it looks like there's hardly a cloud in the sky now, sun rising, and it's looking like a beautiful morning. So back to my dinner party. So at this point in my imaginary dinner party, maybe I've started to convince some of the other guests that they could give Yes Music a go. So what would they say then? They'd ask me probably where to start. Well, it's rather an overwhelming question, isn't it? Where do you point people to start with Yes? As there is such a range, as I've said, and such an overwhelming number of albums, where would you get people to start appreciating the greatest progressive rock band of all time? Well, maybe it depends on the kind of music that those dinner guests already listen to. So what about some starting points for different types of Yes music? Well, obviously, if the dinner guests are of a particular age and were young like I was in the 1980s, then perhaps starting with the quintessential 1980s record 90125. Those dinner guests who are into 80s music, very, very likely to know Owner of a Lonely Heart anyway. And that's a fantastic place to start, of course. Owner of a Lonely Heart starts the album, and they can be drawn into some of the slightly more progressive elements as they go through that. I'm sure they'll find plenty to enjoy there. But then what about after 90125? Where would you go on to then? Well, Big Generator has, again, a development of those ideas and themes in 90125. It's still very, very definitely an 80s album, but then I'd get them very quickly to move on to Talk, which I think is a real masterpiece of Trevor Rabin and Yes in that 80s style. There are longer pieces on Talk and some absolutely fantastic progressive moments. So building on that, then they can start to delve back in time and forward in time. Drama seems an obvious place to go from that, and then backwards towards the classic albums. So 80s, pretty well covered. What about if the dinner guests are classical music fans? Well, there are two ways around this, I think. Certainly the classical elements of Magnification would be a great place to start. You've got those fabulous John Anderson lyrics, great songs, All the elements of Yes, apart from the keyboards, are there, but it's combined brilliantly with the orchestra. There are even long sections of orchestral music on its own without the rest of the band playing. So that's definitely a good place to start. But where do you move on to from Magnification? Well, I suppose you could argue that the other place where orchestra was used was back in Time and a Word, but I think that might be too much of a leap. What I would prefer to do, I think, is to get orchestral enthusiasts to listen to Magnification, but then to go back to, dare I say it, Tales from Topographic Oceans. Now this is because that's the Yes music, which in itself, with just the band members, is the most orchestral in construction, in design, in sound, and in feel. The expansiveness of those four sides are in some ways quite similar to the construction, to the feel of a great epic symphony. So perhaps moving on from Magnification to Tales would be a good step for those orchestral enthusiasts. After listening to Tales, of course, then that opens doors to the classic era of the band, and then they can move on from there. What about if a dinner guest is keen on show tunes, on musicals? Well, there's even some musical theatre connected, yes, isn't there? If you think about those early cover versions that the band did, for example, Something's Coming, which is the Bernstein track. If the dinner guest is a fan of musicals, they'll definitely know Bernstein's work from West Side Story and On the Town and all those great musicals. So getting them started with a Yes version of a musical might be a good way to go. And then those early brilliant cover versions can lead on to the early work of the band. Perhaps I'd move straight on to Time and a Word from that, and then backwards and forwards, and you can follow the path of the band as they moved into more progressive areas from there. Of course, if one of the dinner guests is a bit of a classic rock fan, then there would be nothing better than starting with the classic Yes albums, perhaps starting from Close to the Edge, and then moving on to Going for the One, Fragile, the Yes album, and so on. I'm sure that given the opportunity of trying out those albums and not relying on their stereotypical view of Yes that they may have picked up from listening to friends or critics, they'll be hooked as soon as they hear those opening moments of Close to the Edge. It perhaps gets a bit more difficult if one of the guests is not interested in rock music at all. Perhaps they're interested in some kind of dance music, and I don't pretend to understand all the different flavours and varieties of dance music out there. But there are even perhaps some tracks you could point them towards to get them started with Yes music. On ABWH you might point them towards Tiquebois or something like that. And of course there are even remixes of tracks like Owner of a Lonely Heart. Perhaps from there they could move on to some more of the 80s focused music on Big Generator, 90125, and even Talk, and then branch out from there. So I suppose what I'm saying overall is find a way in to Yes music for everyone, regardless of their musical tastes, their musical experiences up until this point. I think there's a place where everyone can start with Yes music and then branch out and listen to more and more and get hooked on the wonderful spectrum, the range of Yes music. So I suppose I should deal with the other side of the coin, though, just before we draw this dinner party to a close, and that's to consider what aspects of Yes music, what pieces of Yes music not to recommend to the diners. Well, as I've said in the past, I wouldn't really start with anything from Tormato, especially Madrigal, Circus of Heaven, or Arriving UFO, because if you do that, how are you going to counter the argument that it's all a bit silly, pompous, overblown, and daft? Maybe I'd steer clear of pointing them towards Open Your Eyes. There's some great music on that album, but it just, for me, tends to get a bit samey, and I wouldn't like people to get the impression, by listening to the whole of Open Your Eyes, that that's all that Yes music consists of. Also, Bumpy Ride from Fly From Here. I don't have as much of a problem with this track as I know a lot of Yes fans do, but considering that there's a lot of ill will towards this track, again, probably safer to stick to other Yes gems. Also, for most people, I would steer clear of giving them a copy of Tales from Topographic Oceans. That might be a bit too much. And perhaps even Relayer might be a bit too much unless they're into that kind of generally experimental music. Also, on drama, I wouldn't get them to listen to Man in a White Car until they knew what Yes were generally on about. It's one of my favourite tracks of all time, but out of context of the album, and out of context of what else Yes have done, it might sound a bit odd. Also on ABWH, of course not strictly Yes, but Brother of Mine, the main chorus part, can sound a bit twee on its own again. So finally, those are my ideas. I'm sure you have 100 other ideas of where people could start, or of tracks that people ought to steer clear of if they're just beginning to get introduced to Yes music. Please do drop me a line with your suggestions of where to start with Yes, or where not to start with Yes, and I'll include those in a future episode. So that's about it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've been able to cope with the road noise and haven't minded too much that this is the only way I could get an episode recorded this week. I'll be back next week, and in the meantime, please do get involved with the podcast via all the different ways on the website, www.yesmusicpodcast.com. And finally, don't forget to vote for the Yes Music Podcast in the European Podcast Awards if you would like to. You can get there by going to bit.ly/voteymp. That's bit.ly/voteymp, all one word. And thank you very much for your support for the podcast. So until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes. Thank you.